Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today.
Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. My name is J. Mark Horst. I'm your friend and Bible teacher. The program you're listening to is produced by Heralds of Hope, an international gospel radio and internet ministry. Now, for the past few programs of Hope for Today, we've been studying from Luke chapter 21 and verses 5 to 28. Our study is titled, The Coming of the Son of Man. We're still only partway through our text, so we'll continue that study today. As we begin, I remind you that this text provides several clear indicators that will precede the coming of the Son of Man. The first indicator we looked at was spiritual deception. I believe Jesus listed spiritual deception first because it has the greatest potential to destroy us and to destroy our faith in Him. If we succumb to spiritual deception, we may survive physically, but we will be eternally lost. The second indicator that will precede the coming of the Son of Man is political commotion. Jesus pointed his listeners to some things that would happen in the near future, that is, in their lifetime. But he also mentioned some things that would happen in the distant future. And we see our world being prepared for some of those future things. Another indicator of the coming of the Son of Man is religious persecution. Certainly, Jesus' disciples faced this, especially after Pentecost and the birth of the early church. But furthermore, Christ followers around the world today are suffering persecution. But Jesus points to a time of persecution that's coming that will be unprecedented, and it will be worldwide. Now, there are several more indicators we want to look at. To prepare for our teaching, let me read the text, Luke chapter 21 and verses 5 to 28. Then, as some spoke of the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and donations, he said, "These things which you see, the days will come in which not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down." So they asked him, saying, "Teacher, but when will these things be? And what sign will there be when these things are about to take place?" And he said, "Take heed that you do not be deceived, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and 'the time has drawn near.' Therefore, do not go after them. But when you hear of wars and commotions, do not be terrified. For these things must come to pass first, but the end will not come immediately." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be great earthquakes in various places, and famines and pestilences. And there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. But before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons. You will be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake, but it will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony. Therefore, settle it in your hearts not to meditate beforehand on what you will answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist. You will be betrayed, even by parents and brothers, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But not a hair of your head shall be lost. By your patience possess your souls. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation is near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those who are in the midst of her depart, and let not those who are in the country enter her. For these are the days of vengeance, that all the things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. for there will be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. And they will fall by the edge of the sword, and be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem will be trampled by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Men's hearts failing them for fear, and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. You know, in the Western world, where most of us have known religious freedom all our lives, these are difficult words for us. They're hard words. We see things changing around us with a growing intolerance of truth and moral absolutes. We must realize the freedoms we've enjoyed as the followers of Christ are not the norm. No, they're not. They're an anomaly. Because the vast majority of our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world suffer from some form of harassment and persecution. Why should you and I expect to be exempted from suffering as followers of Christ? Then notice Jesus' promise in verses 18 and 19. This is precious. He told them, and us, not a hair of their head would perish. What does that statement remind you of? Well, in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 30, Jesus told his followers that their heavenly Father had even the very hairs of their head numbered. This showed to them and to us the extent of divine providence and protection that we enjoy. This promise was given in the context of being willing to give up physical life in order to gain eternal life. So the promise Jesus is giving to the disciples here in our text cannot mean that they wouldn't suffer physically. We know that because some of them were martyred for their faith. The soul is the eternal part of us that cannot be destroyed. The body will die and it will decay. That's inescapable. If not today or tomorrow, at some point all of us will experience physical death. But Jesus was promising them and us spiritual deliverance, spiritual victory. I believe the point becomes clearer with a proper understanding of verse 19. Some versions of the scripture, including the New King James Version, which I read, render it this way: by your patience, possess your souls. But we have a different understanding of the word possess than how it's used here. In Luke chapter 18 and verse 12, the self-righteous Pharisee is recorded as saying, "I give tithes of all that I possess." But we know that tithes were not required on possessions, but rather on profits or gain. I prefer the rendering of the English Standard Version on this verse. It reads like this: by your endurance, you will gain your lives. And this dovetails perfectly with Jesus' earlier teaching about being willing to lose physical life in order to preserve the soul for eternal life. By their steadfast faith in Jesus, they would gain eternal life. And you know, the same is true for you and me. The next verses of the text detail for us the imminent destruction facing Jerusalem. The disciples had asked Jesus about a sign indicating that event. And in verses 20 to 24, Jesus honors their request by giving them specific things to look for. First, he said, "Beware when Jerusalem is surrounded by armies." The Roman general, Vespasian, was assigned the task of bringing the fractious Jewish people under control in 67 AD. He began by subduing the region of Galilee, but then the death of Emperor Nero in the year 68 left Vespasian without clear orders. Later on, he was recalled to Rome and became the emperor. And so his son Titus was left to finish the task there in Palestine, which he did in September of 70 AD. The only account we have of these happenings is from the Jewish Roman historian Josephus. So Jesus warned the disciples to watch for this gathering of armies. The grammar used here indicates that the gathering had already begun. That is, Rome was already in control of the city. That would be a sign that the destruction of Jerusalem was near at hand. He advised those who lived outside the city in Judea, who could flee to the mountains, to do that. For those in the city, he said, you should get out before the city is completely encircled. And those who were in the country should absolutely not enter into Jerusalem. And he had a special warning for expectant mothers and those who were nursing infants. He said their plight would be extremely perilous in the coming distress. Now, why all of these warnings? Because Jesus said, these are the days of vengeance, when all the prophecies of judgment against this rebellious nation would be fulfilled. He had already clearly spoken of this destruction in chapter 19 and verses 42 to 44, and he connected its fulfillment to the fact that they were blinded to who he really was. You know, the slaughter that took place in the destruction of Jerusalem was horrendous on both sides. Many thousands fell by the sword, as Jesus noted for us in verse 24, and thousands more were taken into captivity and slavery. The city was almost completely destroyed, except for the three great towers of Herod's palace. We're told Titus left those standing to show the great strength his forces had to overcome in conquering the city. And some of the retaining walls were also left, but the rest of the city was a smoldering ruin. Pious Jews today still mourn this tragic event. Jesus said that Jerusalem would be dominated by Gentile powers until the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled. Today, you and I are currently living in that time. Now, you might say, but Israel is back in the land since 1948, and it's an independent state. Yes, that's true. But who controls the holy sites, and who controls the Temple Mount? I ask you, what other country in the world has its every move scrutinized and criticized? It's still under Gentile domination. So we wait for the fulfillment of Jesus' promise.
My friend, I hate to interrupt, but we're almost out of time for today's broadcast. Lord willing, we'll be back next week to continue this study. In the meantime, if you'd like to have an audio CD or a printed copy of this complete teaching, just write and request it by its title, The Coming of the Son of Man. Now, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to mail@heraldsofhope.org. That email address again is mail@heraldsofhope.org. Or write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this complete teaching, The Coming of the Son of Man. Once again, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to mail@heraldsofhope.org. And remember, you can request a free copy of this teaching, The Coming of the Son of Man. And don't forget, our Bible teaching programs are available to you all the time and anytime at the website, twr360.org. That's twr360.org. When you get there, just type in Hope for Today in the search bar, and you'll find the available teaching. Thousands are logging onto the site each month for spiritual nourishment and blessing. You can join them and be blessed too. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week as we continue our study titled The Coming of the Son of Man. And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.